Are you ready to ignite your brand, your business, and your life? Welcome to the Firestarter Podcast. I'm your host, Willa Kammerer, and this is a space for bold conversations on building your high-caliber personal brand, scaling your online business, and leading with purpose. Here we dive into the strategies, systems, and stories behind today's most magnetic entrepreneurs, thought leaders, and creators, alongside world-class experts in sales and marketing, performance, mindset, and leadership. Together, we'll dive deep into what it takes to build a premium personal brand that not only stands out, but is good business. From camera confidence to software systems and brand authority to life alignment, each episode is designed to spark clarity and fuel your next level. As a single mompreneur and movement maker, my mission is to help you not just build a brand and business, but to craft a life and legacy on fire. I asked you before and I'll ask you again, are you ready to ignite your brand, your business, and your life? If so, tune in and let's dive in. Hello and welcome to the Firestarter Podcast. I'm Willa Kammerer, and today we are talking about a really important and also under-discussed topic, what most business owners get wrong about legal protection as they scale. And to have that conversation, I'm so thrilled to be joined by Juliet Peters, the founder of Framework Legal. Welcome to the show, Juliet.
Thank you for having me, Willa. I really appreciate it.
So I would love to hear a little bit more about your personal journey and your background. What inspired you to create Framework Legal and get into this space? And, you know, what were gaps that you were seeing that inspired you to do that?
So I started, law is a second career for me. And when I went back to law school and I started my career really as a civil litigator, so I was helping people with lawsuits on the business side. I then went to run a large division of a public law office, and I also worked in-house for a company. When I came out of the public law office, I was starting with zero clients, right? And I had to make a decision, was I going to go back into litigation, or was I going to kind of use those business chops I'd gathered and really start working with businesses? And I come from a family of entrepreneurs as a child. And so I really felt compelled to work with small to mid-sized business owners. That's really what I wanted to do. And so I decided to start my firm really with zero clients and build it from the ground up. And that's what I did. I mean, I really... A small business, Main Street business, is the lifeblood of our economy, certainly in the United States and absolutely in Arizona where I live. And I felt like the beauty of working with small to mid-sized businesses is that you really become much more than a lawyer, right? You really are working with them on what they want to see as the goals of their business, and you become kind of like an extension of their executive team. And I enjoy that so tremendously that that's really what caused me to kind of double down and really build a practice that was really designed around small to mid-sized businesses.
So much value that you bring. And, you know, as an entrepreneur, those relationships, that legal expertise, financial expertise, it's so important to build those partnerships and have that, you know, those experts in your corner to ultimately, you know, not mess up. So with that in mind, you know, I think so many entrepreneurs like me, small business owners, didn't get an MBA, didn't, you know, get the legal education, you know, started their thing because, you know, you feel this calling, you have this skill, this passion that you're trying to bring into the world. And so, you know, a lot of, you know, figuring out the how to navigate from a legal standpoint, from a, you know, business, money, numbers standpoint, a lot of it is self-education. I would say, you know, what are some common things and, you know, mishaps and things that you see business owners getting wrong commonly when they come to you?
Yeah, I would say the first thing is if you're going into business with someone else and you decide, no knock on LegalZoom, but if you decide that you should get your operating agreement through LegalZoom, you're making a mistake. Because when you have more than one, that's fine for a single member business, right? But if you have more than one person in your business, you really need to work with a lawyer to get your operating agreement if you're an LLC dialed in, or your shareholder agreement if you're an Inc. dialed in, because chances are that at some point you will lose a partner think about that up at the front so that you make it easy to unhook. And the documents are where it's at. And so do it yourself on that is really costly in the long run for a mistake. And lawyers will work with you on what you can, you know, do in terms of fees. But honestly, you need to spend the money to get your framework, your, you know, by what you've got going is in a really good shape from the get-go. The other mistake that I see people making is not a legal mistake, and that is not knowing your numbers and not having your business plan dialed in and not spending enough time figuring out how to monetize the business. Because, you know, all of us kind of run the risk of not wanting to look at our numbers because it's not the fun part of the business, right? But you definitely need to make it a priority monthly to be looking at your numbers. And the first hire I made in my business, which I did very early on when I couldn't afford much of anything, was a bookkeeper. Why? Because I needed to know my bills were going to go out timely every month, collections would be occurring, and I had somebody to bounce the financial stuff off of. And I have, from the get-go, wanted to have clean books and records, right? That was very important to me. And it's been really great for me over the life cycle of my business to have that peace of mind. Money needs a job. You need to give money a job to do, right? And you can't give money a job if you don't know what it's up to.
Such great advice across the board. And I would say, you know, in my own journey as a business owner like you, you know, I invested in building that team early to support me, you know, on the legal side, on the bookkeeping side. And it's just, it's such a gift that keeps giving and, you know, paying dividends. But I think, you know, at what stage you can't file your taxes on TurboTax. You know, if you're taking this seriously as a business, you have to graduate into building a professional support team around you. And that goes for legal, business operating agreements, just like a, you know, marriage contract. They're legal agreements and you're bound to it. And so I think what you said, it's so important to look at everything you're doing in the business legally, financially, with the long view and not just looking at it. It's so easy. You know, we're entrepreneurs, we're full of, you know, vision and hope, and it's, how could it not work? But you also have to, you know, kind of look at it, you know, with the kind of more critical lens of, okay, but how can we future-proof this? Absolutely. And, you know, build in the protections. It's also insurance is another topic.
Insurance,
so, you know,
is
I would
huge.
Love to hear, you know, no, from your perspective, you know, what is the team to make sure we have our legal, financial, insurance, et cetera, you know, covered?
That you've really covered it. I mean, the first thing you need is a lawyer to assist you on how you're going to structure the business. And you have to have a lawyer help you with an operating agreement if there is more than one person in the business. If your name is really important to you and you've spent a lot of money on it, look at trademarking right away. Because if you put a lot of money and sink resources into branding and that brand cannot be protected, well, you're in a tough sled right from the get-go. You need an accountant. You absolutely have to have a bookkeeper or accountant really from the get-go. I cannot even tell you how many people start what our sole business is. They are LLCs and they don't get any advice from their accountant, and they should have made an election to be an S Corp, you know, a long time ago, and they're still not doing proactively. Your accountant should be talking to you about that, but a lot of accountants don't. So you need to be asking questions. When you're cracking that six-figure mark, you should ask your accountant, if you're an LLC, should I be electing as status? And what that means is it's an accounting designation, not a legal designation. And it just allows you to pay taxes, employment taxes. You are paid as an employee of your business, and that saves you on the self-employment tax, right? So that's something, and there's a number at which that becomes important. It varies from business to business, but that is a question you should be asking your accountant. When you miss that turn, you can always do it every year, but it will cost you money if you don't do it at the right time. So insurance is super critical. If you're in professional services, do not be out there selling your services without insurance. It's really a mistake, because people are going to sue you. It just happens in business. And if you do not have insurance, you're going to be paying for that personally. That's very, very hard. Your single biggest expense in a brick and mortar type of business is your lease. Do not sign a lease without reading it. I cannot tell you how many people sign their leases, they don't read it. You have to read your lease. You have to negotiate those provisions really hard, because if your business fails or if you have to make a change in it and you don't have flexibility in your lease, again, that is a huge cost to you. So I would say that those are really, really important, and you've got to set resources aside for that when you're planning how much money you need, right? Nobody really wants to hire a lawyer. I get that. And I also and myself have bootstrapped a lot of things, but there's a place to bootstrap and a place not to bootstrap. You know, your documents are not a place to bootstrap. The other thing I will say that I see all the time is you must have a contract. Do not go into this on a handshake. It's a mistake. There are people that are sketchy on ethics, and they are going to be looking for people who don't have agreements, and they will exploit that. Don't be one of those people. Have a simple agreement. That's something that you might be able to, you know, find as a resource online. I would not necessarily go to ChatGPT as a first line. Chat is not that great on contracts. But a lawyer, again, will work with you typically, maybe as a new business, on a flat fee for a contract. You really need to have that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, I think this aligns very much with the work that we do at our company, Firestarter, really helping people, you know, take this passion, this small business, this vision that they have, and professionalize it. You know, build the professional brand, build the professional systems. And then also, you know, I'm just so happy we're having this conversation, because I feel like, especially in the online business and the personal brand space, we can talk all day about magnetic messaging and positioning, right, and funnels and upsells and offers, but there's so little conversation about, you know, the kind of like less sexy parts of building a business, which is the legal, the insurance, the, you know, entities, the tax filing status, all of this. So it's just so important to have this conversation. And I think that part of why that maybe, you know, we, and maybe especially women, I'd love to, you know, hear your perspective. Absolutely. On this, you know, have a little bit of this kind of like uncomfortable, you know, yuck, intimidation factor, is kind of a lack of understanding, because there aren't great resources out there helping navigate, but thank goodness we have, you know, you know, people like you helping navigate. But I think part of it, can you speak about, you know, how demystifying it, I think, is the start of the journey of embracing and really learning to, you know, love and value and honor how important the kind of back end nuts and bolts, the business side of building a business is. And once we can start to really embrace that, it's ultimately empowering, and it's building something enduring for the long run, which I think is what we all want.
Yeah, I think that depending on the business you're in, like, the fun part is on the front end of the business. It's on the marketing, it's on the ideas, it's on the execution of those, of that vision, right? The fun part is not sitting down with your lawyer to come up with a good contract, right? But it is a necessary part of the business. And I think you do yourself a disfavor to the longevity and the sustainability of your business if you don't set up a professional platform. And look, you don't have to call me. You don't have to call an expensive attorney. You can work with somebody, you know, locally that is, you know, more cost efficient for you. Lots of lawyers do flat fees. There's lots of people who offer kind of online sort of services that are, you know, lawyers in states. And I think you need to find what's going to work for you. But you have to do it. If you don't do it, you run a lot of risks. You get, you know, really, you could have problems out of the gate that you didn't even intend to have. And so, and you don't have the front end of the business without the back end of the business. And it's just kind of the reality of what you're dealing with every day. The sexy part of the business and the fun part of the business is ultimately not what makes the business run. It's the boring stuff behind the scenes that actually generates the revenue, sending bills out timely, you know, all of that cycle. Those things are critical to dial in right away, right? You know, I would say that I notice sometimes with women-owned businesses, again, it's because we really inherently are used to being bootstrappers. We want to teach ourselves things, and we do a lot of things really well. And so there's this tendency to not want to spend the money when money is tight on things or pay for things that you can do yourself through AI or... But that really, truly, I can't tell you clearly enough, that's a mistake. So, and it's so much harder to unwind that when you've done it badly than it is to put aside the resource to do it right from the get-go. And I'll tell you, the other thing that I think keeps me up at night a lot now with AI is the fact that people are relying on a lot of, you know, to do logos on AI and names on AI and all of this kind of stuff. And actually, there are terms and conditions that say you can't use it for that reasons, right? And so then you go to file it with the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, and it's going to be a mistake, right? And it's hard to come back from that stuff once you make that stuff, once you make an error like that. So I think you have to be really careful, and you have to kind of walk that line between doing things from a cost perspective. I'd rather you talk to a lawyer about, hey, can you work with me on a fee, than avoiding a lawyer and thinking you're going to get a decent contract on ChatGPT, because you're not. And the thing is, you won't know that until you miss it. I use ChatGPT every day, right? And so a lot of times I'll have clients that say, I want to take my contract. I've put it into ChatGPT to simplify it, right? But then when I look at what they've sent me, what it's done is it's stripped out, in an effort to make it simple, it's stripped out a lot of lawyer, provisions that are really critical because they've already been litigated. So there's already law out there around that. If your contract goes without that, you're at risk. You're just at risk. So I would say I'd rather you have a very upfront conversation with a lawyer about whether or not they can work with you on a fee to accomplish what you want to accomplish, rather than avoiding the subject altogether or trying to do it yourself. Yeah.
Such good advice. And I think, another lens way to look at it is, a lot of times as women, we talk about, wanting to feel supported. And I know that through building a good team around me fairly early on in my journey, through making mistakes, realizing that I did need to get more support, that, once my business reached a level of complexity, I couldn't continue to, print out bank statements, circle in different colors, file on TurboTax, once you're starting to... employ other people, it's like you have to up level. But I would describe, my experience of building that team around me. I love my accountant. I feel so supported knowing that I have all the correct paperwork, that it's being filed routinely with the state, the federal government, my taxes are paid on time, they tell me what I need to sign when. And it's not this, I have, the profit and loss statements. It's not a kind of delegation and forget, but it's also, pulling in the right professionals, knowing that, I didn't start my business to become, an expert in kind of the nuts and the bolts of bookkeeping and tax filing, legal agreements, et cetera. And so it's just an acknowledgement of really professionalize all of it and pulling in the right team, to support.
Yeah. And that's how I look at my relationship with my clients, is really about helping them meet their goals, right? That's a good day for me when I can really, I know the business well enough to know how they, what they're trying to do. I mean, I had a conversation with a client last week who I've been working with for a long time. Their firm is growing very large, and, there were some things that happened in we were doing revising the operating agreement, because they were bringing a partner on, a new partner on, and they were making a mistake, not a legal mistake. They were making a mistake in the way they were approaching that. And I don't hesitate to call the guy I've been working with and say, look, this isn't a legal issue, but let me tell you what I'm seeing. The monkeys can't run the railroad. You can take input, but you can't, that's not the way it should go. You have to take that input, but you should not be having these hands-on meetings where everyone is allowed to talk to your lawyer. It's a waste of your time and money. And he took that really well. Would I say that to every client? No, but you know, I've built a rapport over a lot of years of helping them grow. And so that's part of the benefit of having lawyers really looking out for your business, not just the legal aspect of the business, but the whole business and the success of the business. They know you, they know what you're trying to accomplish, and they know your people. So that's really important.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, I know, you know, you have this whole other dimension of, you know, yourself and your, you know, passion as you've built your firm and your business is, you know, really just helping women, you know, get to the table. It's your, you know, name of your podcast. And I'd love for you to just, you know, briefly share a little bit, you know, about, you know, your big why, you know, inspiring all of this.
So my big why from the time that I could remember is really helping women and girls succeed. That's really always where I've put all my time, energy, and effort outside of what I've been doing. And when I first started my business, my intent was to work really almost exclusively with women business owners. But when I started my business, which now I guess has been a lot of years ago, like 18 years ago, I started with a partner and I've been doing my own business for a long time now. Women businesses were not at the level I needed them to be at in order to really build a business myself. That has changed dramatically in the last 5 years. I have a lot more women businesses than I ever had in the years previous. But I'm very passionate about women-owned businesses and women entrepreneurship because I think it gives us really the ability to have a huge amount of flexibility in our life. And we have so many gifts to give. I want women to feel empowered to do that. And so the other thing is I'm really dedicated to, as a former journalist, to really putting content out there that is inspiring to women and gives women sort of other people that are doing things that they can then look at and say, well, if this person can do it, then I can do it, right? And so I have a podcast called Her Table, Her Rules, and it's available on all platforms. And we talk to women business owners like you and like others who really are sharing their lessons and their tips and their tricks. And then I work with business owners, women business owners, lawyers and service providers, women service providers, to really help them and coach them as they scale from 6 to 7 figures and what we would call that messy middle there, where all the bad stuff usually happens, right? And there's a lot of head work that has to be done in that space. And so, yeah, that's really what I'm up to. I love my law firm and I love working with my clients. But I really enjoy the benefit of working one-on-one with women. Women just do so much better in communities when they have community support and other people that have walked that walk that they want to walk. So,
such an important conversation. Thank you for sharing everything that you have. So, Juliet, where can our listeners find you and Framework Legal?
Awesome. Well, you can reach me, first of all, on LinkedIn at Juliet Peters. You can find me on frameworklegal.com. That is the law firm site, and hertableherrules.com.
Amazing. Well, thank you for joining us for another episode of the Firestarter Podcast. You can find all of Juliet's info as well as ours in the show notes at thefirestarterpodcast.com. And we would love for you to invite you to join us for another conversation. And if you feel moved to leave a review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, it goes a long way in helping more listeners find us for important conversations like this. And also find us on YouTube under Willa Kammerer and the Firestarter Podcast. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for joining me for another episode of the Firestarter Podcast. If this episode sparked something for you, I would love to stay connected. Please be sure to subscribe to the Firestarter Podcast on YouTube on my channel, Willa Kammerer. Leaving a quick review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify goes such a long way in helping this message reach more people who are ready to step into their next level brand, business, and life. Head over to willakammerer.com for show notes, resources, behind-the-scenes insights, and ways to work with me and my team. Also, I'd love to connect on Instagram and LinkedIn at Willa Kammerer. That's K-A-M-M-E-R-E-R. Thank you for being here, for choosing growth and the courage to build something meaningful. Until next time, keep trusting yourself, taking bold action, and living like the fire starter that you are.